Good morning and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Remember way back at the beginning of the pandemic when grocery stores put a limit on the amount of toilet paper folks could stockpile? It seems funny now, but the truth is the pandemic was a major wake-up call to the fact that Alaska only has limited food supplies and help is far away. Today, the toilet paper scare has been replaced by higher food costs from inflation and more empty shelves from supply chain glitches. So what can you do about it? One grassroots organization here in Anchorage is offering free garden mentoring. If you decide you want to do more than stockpile toilet paper and canned food, but maybe for the first time start to grow your own food, Anchor Gardens wants to help. So today we'll meet a founder and two of their garden mentors. We welcome your calls and questions throughout the hour. I'm going to give you the numbers now, and I'm going to give them several times during the hour. In Anchorage, you can call us at 550-8433. And we also watch for your emails at hometown@alaskapublic.org. I also want to direct you to our webpage, alaskapublic.org/hometown, because we have links to Anchor Gardens and their Facebook page and their story, how they got started. So if this show intrigues you and you've got questions, we hope you'll give us a call and also check out our website, which will direct you to their website. And you can kind of peruse through and see what they've got and when their classes are and how they meet and just, you know, learn a little bit more about this organization. So we're going to start with our guests, and I'm going to begin with Cindy Carnes is one of the founders. I'm not sure, Cindy, how many other founders there were. Fred is here in the studio with me, and I'll introduce you in a second, Fred, but he's telling me there were six founders. Cindy, I first became aware of you through permaculture and permaculture classes, and I know you have a bioshelter. You live in a bioshelter. You teach people how to build greenhouses that are straw and clay. I think I read a story in Edible Alaska that said 75% of your food you actually get through growing it and foraging for it and hunting. And I don't know if that figure is still good or it's changed.
Goal anyway, but you know, things change as we get busy. Anchor Gardens has made me more busy, so yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how you got together. Who were you sitting around talking with? Why did this idea of Anchorage Gardens happen?
So I've taught permaculture for 10 years in the state, and I had a lot of students from Anchorage. And when the pandemic hit, one of my students, which is Meg Zalatel, who's on the assembly, started a little conversation and included me in that conversation. What are we going to do with our kids now that they can't go to school? We've got to get them outside. Why not, kill two birds with one stone and have them start gardening? And everybody was like, yeah, this is a great idea. And I started reaching out to my students who lived in different neighborhoods and said, hey, are you guys interested in teaching people how to garden so that we can, kind of get this pandemic under control with our food and different things. And they're all for it. So that was the beginning. And it didn't really last with kids too much, a little bit.
Yeah, so it started with kids, but the grown-ups took over?
We were so busy trying to build the plane in the air with this whole, how are we keeping track? And work, it exploded.
Yeah.
And so we were hoping that the parents were including the kids in the thing, but we never really found out for sure.
Yeah.
That first year, we did 500 new backyard gardens.
500 gardens in Anchorage started your first year.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was crazy. Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to come back, Cindy. I just want to welcome Fred McCleary on. He's here in the studio with me, and he is I can see from his hat that he's a Vietnam vet, retired U.S. Air Force, and he is one of the mentors and is very active. And we're going to hear some stories from Fred, both in how he mentors, what's going on in his own backyard, some of the things that he's tried, the solutions that he's come through. And later in the hour, we're going to hear from Stephanie Gorder. I've got a tickle in my throat. Excuse me. She is a mentor for Anchor Gardens in the Sand Lake community. Fred, you're in Russian Jack, right? So now back to Cindy. I'm sorry, I just have such a tickle in my throat. Back to Cindy. How did you try to organize? You were going to have mentors in every neighborhood community council.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Right. I started out with that, and I said, well, I have them here, here, and here. And now my since for a long time, my theory has always been we're at the end of the food chain. So if you know something, you better teach somebody, because we're at the end of the line here. And partially it's about me growing up in Fairbanks when everybody had gardens and everybody was sharing. But in reality, it's about we really need to start taking this seriously. And people in Anchorage were notorious, at least when I moved down here 10, 14 years ago. They weren't talking to their neighbors. And so it's been all this time trying to figure out how to get them to feel the urgency. And the pandemic was great for that. Suddenly they felt the urgency. People were willing to, you know, reach out and help other people grow food. And it just turned out just great.
Did you go to community council meetings, or did you just put flyers up in grocery stores? I guess you talked about your students who had come to your permaculture classes, and that was a network you took advantage of.
That's a big network, yeah. But I sent out, it was a pandemic, so I couldn't really go talk to anybody. I just sent out letters to all the community councils, and we had stockpile locations. And actually, at the beginning, we didn't even have that, but we were just growing like crazy, just by word of mouth. So we couldn't even keep up with the database.
Wow. So people really came out of the woodwork, so to speak, because the food issues, the food security issues. I know it's been a topic in Anchorage and Alaska for years. Just recently, the status of the port's been in the newspaper, or trying to see if we can get funding to finish the repairs on the port. Because what is it, 90% of things come through that port, and so if something happens, who are you going to call? It's in front of people now very much, I think, and with the rising food costs that I hear people talking about a lot, they tell me, I went and I got these three things and this was how much it cost. I can't believe it. So it's a common conversation, and I would have to say Alaska has a challenge in that our growing season is short and intense. And yet you're trying to solve, eating year round. So do you think that Anchor Gardens is going to lead to, root cellars and things like that, or canning?
Yeah. So exactly. So when you join the Facebook page, you're on there for all the information that Facebook generates. But when you join Anchor Gardens and you sit down with a cup of tea and fill out the survey, we ask you your superpowers. And so your superpowers are then things that you're willing to teach or share with other people. And we're also asking what other things you need, and we're trying to connect on that level, what your neighborhood is, of course. And then so the connections there, meeting people's needs and such, but the superpowers, we started last summer, I think was our first summer of Zoom classes. The people with superpowers on canning got together and did a class. The people with superpowers on herbs did a class. So we're pulling the superpower people together to teach, but then we're also doing that in neighborhoods as well. So, so we're trying to really, get out all the people that know stuff to teach whatever they're teaching, whatever
their superpower. And do you find people reluctant or a mix? I guess maybe some people just leap right into the fray and say, oh, I can teach you how to put up a, what do you call those, hoop house, teach you how to put up a hoop house or whatever. Or do you have to kind of, warm them up and get them feeling brave and, thinking they can actually fit it into their life? I think sometimes you've got, people working hard, raising families. They don't think they can add one more thing.
So Anchor Gardens isn't an organization. We're a network, and network is made up of relationships. And so part of that survey is we're going to ask who you know and who your friends are. And then if we can see that two friends want to learn canning, for instance, we can hook those up with an expert, So because people don't think like when they're with friends, it's not as, I don't know, nerve-wracking or whatever to than to just sign up with some stranger for a class. And not paying money is awkward too, because people are like, wait, it doesn't cost anything? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they almost would rather pay so that they don't feel like, you know, I don't know. It's just weird. The gifting thing, this network is really profound. We have people offering cooking classes if they'll teach them how to garden, you know, things like that.
Right. I've been on the Facebook page and I've been on your website, but I haven't clicked the button that shows me the application, which you said takes a cup of tea and a half an hour to fill out. Yeah. So I realize you've been talking about saying, well, tell me what your interests are or tell me what you know. You know, what else? I mean, the idea that cooking classes could come out of this is really an interesting idea. So I guess I'm going to guess that there's chickens. Maybe there's, do you want to know how to have four chickens in your backyard, which I think is the municipal limit? I don't know. All that kind of thing. It sounds like you, it's a kind of a process of discovery, like, what do people want to know? What do people know how to teach? And let's put these people together. Does it happen in somebody's backyard?
It happens on Zoom. It happens in backyards. It happens at the I Street Garden. It happens at Fred's house. I don't know. It happens all over town, depending on who has the interest and where the interest is building.
Yeah, yeah. It's just interesting to me because when I first got to Anchorage, there were community schools that taught classes and you could sign up and learn how to French braid hair or cook Thai food or probably some gardening. And I think for funding reasons, those went by the wayside. But then new forms of this come forward. It's no longer in the school system. It's out in the neighborhoods this time, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what we're modeling. Yeah.
Let's see. You also talked to me a little bit. Cindy and I talked before the show so I could understand more about Anchor Gardens. And by the way, Cindy, I heard about you first last year from a friend. I was in her garden and we were looking at her garden and she said, do you know about Anchor Gardens? And I said, no. And she said, if you've got a question, you can just they're in your neighborhood and you can call them up and maybe they'll stop by or they'll give you tips. And, I think we think we have to go down to the garden center and just buy stuff. You know, we don't know that there might be another way to increase your knowledge and, use your neighborhood. So the structure is, and I don't know that you've given up on this, a mentor in every community council district. Is that right, Cindy?
That's exactly right. We're missing like, I don't know, seven right now. But some of the places like Portage Valley, for instance, I don't know if they'll ever come up with gardeners out there. But maybe people listening today might say, oh, yeah, I'm a gardener at Portage Valley. But yeah, it's, the way out places tend to have less coaches or gardeners even.
Well, even places that are widespread, you don't actually can't see your neighbor or there's a small forest between you and your neighbor, you might not be as connected. I'm going to share our numbers one more time. We've got Cindy Carnes on the line from her home in Eagle River. She's one of six founders of Anchor Gardens, which is a free garden mentoring service, grassroots. It's not a service really, as Cindy said, it's relationships, people who know something sharing what they know, but you need a hub. You need some way for those people to find each other. So that's Anchor Gardens. And we also have Fred McCleary in the studio with us, who is one of the mentors. He's from the Russian Jack neighborhood. And we'll hear more stories from Fred as we go along about problem solving. Apparently, he's a good scrounger, as Cindy put it, and a good at solving problems. So if you've got questions for these guys or you just want to find out what's going on, maybe Cindy would know what's going on in your neighborhood if you haven't heard about it yet. So give us a call at 550-8433, and we'll watch for your email at hometown@alaskapublic.org, and maybe we can answer questions that you have. Let's see. Cindy, I was going somewhere with this. So the mentors in every neighborhood or every community council. Oh, here's something I was going to ask you. Your first year, because the pandemic was just affecting people so much they wanted to know how they could do this. And 500 gardens that first year. I think I read in your materials that if you got a mentor in every community council, there'd be 180 gardens. So so you're way past that, but they're not in every community council. Right. Yeah.
It exploded in neighborhoods where people, like Northeast, for instance. Northeast is just a happening neighborhood with gardening, and they are lucky to have some great gardeners there for the mentors. So, yeah, they really exploded over there.
Yeah. By the way, years ago, we had one of the Northeast gardeners on. I didn't realize until I was talking with Stephanie Gorder, who, by the way, we're gonna bring on to the show. She's online. But anyway, Stephanie told me about, is it Don Wood in Northeast?
Yeah, Don
and Christy. Yeah.
And they were on Hometown Alaska a couple years ago, where we were just talking about dirt and container gardening, because he was amazing. And so I actually reached out to him, let him know that Anchor Gardens was going to be on today. So we may hear from Don, I don't know, but they've certainly got a lot cooking over there in Northeast. But anyway, I'm going to welcome Stephanie Gorder onto Hometown Alaska. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, Kathleen. Hello, and hello to Cindy and Fred.
Oh, good. I was just going to say, they're on here with us. I know, Stephanie, that you, we talked a little bit before the show, and you are a coach in the Sand Lake area, but you were not a lifelong gardener, and you, in fact, were a businesswoman. You had your own travel business. You traveled a lot. So you told me that you were in your neighborhood for 20-some years and only knew your neighbor on the right and your neighbor on the left, and how that has changed dramatically now. So tell us, how did Anchor Gardens come into your life?
Sure. Thanks, Kathleen. So I feel like I got really lucky. I have owned the house in Sand Lake, which is literally behind Diamond High School, for 24 years now. And about a dozen years ago, my dad came in with a bobcat, and he dug up the whole backyard because it was 20 years of overgrown garbage, and he knows how to make it flat. And then it sat there drying out for a summer. And then all of a sudden the next year I started getting into gardening and thinking that I could be super cool like my dad, who is my hero. And, because he was into landscaping and he made everyone's yards beautiful. So I thought finally, after my siblings had worked for him and I hadn't, that I would do something. And then I dabbled in it. And then two summers ago, right as the pandemic started, I had just fostered a mini poodle, and I'm walking along and I see this woman in her yard. And at this point now, I'm super excited about gardening, and gardeners have this passion. So it's like my former life in travel, you have this passion. And I started talking to this woman. Her name is Dana. She's currently involved in the Sand Lake community. And she told me what she was doing with Anchor Gardens. And I thought, oh, that sounds really cool. And she says, no, come by later. I've got some seeds for you. We share. And I've never heard of sharing resources. Mm-hmm. And then a couple weeks later, I was walking by again, and there's compost. And I had thought about using compost, but I didn't have the knowledge. And she gave me not only the knowledge, but gave me the use of compost. So that's how I got introduced to Anchor Gardens. And then, for some reason, Cindy decided to pick me to help coach Sand Lake. So that's how I got lucky into it.
Fred is laughing because he got chosen by Cindy to coach, too. So after only 3 years of, roughly 3 or 4 years of gardening, you're a coach. Does that feel intimidating to you? Or do you feel like, hey, if I don't know something, I can find it out? Or, what do you think you're bringing to the table there?
Well, first, I thought I was bringing relatively nothing. However, when you get hooked into Anchor Gardens, and I'm an Alaskan born and raised, and so it gives me a great deal of pride to be now connected within my own community, but they share knowledge. That's the biggest thing we have. All of us know something. If you know something, teach someone.
Mm-hmm.
So they share that knowledge, and so they kind of quickly bring me up to speed. I didn't really understand succession gardening until I met a new friend in Anchor Gardens, and they talked to me about succession gardening and starting my herbs at different times during the early season.
Uh-huh.
And then Cindy, I heard her just mentioned the sessions that were online last summer, which were taught by our people who had a superpower. Those were absolutely amazing. So whether it's sharing of resources or sharing of knowledge, the best part to me about Anchor Gardens is the ability to make every one of us feel like we belong. because we're all different genders. We're all different age groups. We all come together, though, and everyone is welcome. And I love that concept. And it's very clear that they want everyone, different age groups. I am, you know, I think it's because they're inclusive is why I continue to be connected to Anchor Garden.
So, Stephanie, you... You mostly are meeting people in your neighborhood by walking around with your dog, I think, and that's how you got started. But I'm just kind of curious, when you start the conversation, what do people want to know from you? What are some of the typical things people ask you?
Sure. And I'll tell you that I'm kind of a late bloomer in the coaching. And because there's a solid network now of coaches for Anchor Gardens, I've learned how to expand my horizons, because as much as I want to be extrovert, I consider myself an introvert now. That's what the pandemic did to me personally. Mm-hmm. And so walking around, again, when I see somebody who has a beautiful lawn, I talk to them and I find out, what are they using? Are they using chemicals? Because we don't want chemicals. We need the dandelion so that we can, you know, start having more bees. We have a huge bee shortage in the world. Mm-hmm. And it opens up engaging conversations. I went over to one of my friends who has a daughter who just turned 13 last week, and she wanted to talk about gardening, and she was so excited about, you know, coming to our greenhouse and seeing the things that I were doing, and this is in my early days, and she's like, what can I do? And I'm like, well, come to my house, and I'll give you a sunflower, I'll give you a tomato, I'll give you a broccoli. So I gave her a few little things,
yeah,
and now she's hooked, and she's had her own vegetable bins built, and I think the one thing that we all have is that knowledge to be able to mentor the youth, to be able to enjoy gardening as well. So it's conversations like that. Literally, it's you're walking by, I'm biking by, I see somebody doing something. I'm sharing the excess seedlings that I have, because all of us, I mean, I'm still in the early phase of gardening where I can't kill off a plant unless I accidentally kill it. I can't just chop it down because I don't have room. I just find anything that looks like a pot and stick it in it. And
give it away? when we talked, you talked to me a little bit about, a winter sewing party. And I wish you would tell us a little bit about that, because I was thinking quilts or, you know, sewing. And it was quite a bit different. It has to do with milk jugs and dirt and seeds in the middle of winter. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. I was lucky enough this year to finally decide to get some education to back me, so I joined the Alaska Master Gardeners course. And so I, through that course, which started at the end of January, which is through UAS Cooperative Extension, I met a gal in there who, from day one, I'm like, I know you. And we figured out we went to high school over in Bartlett together. And so she and I are in this class, and we're talking about Anchor Gardens, and she was lucky enough to come volunteer last month at the garden show in the Midtown Mall with us. And Cindy, you met her too, that's Diane. But Diane said, hey, I've just done winter sewing, S-O-W-I-N-G. And I said the same thing, what is winter sewing? And she says, well, I planted 124 jugs, so basically milk jugs, that she got through a recycle program through a coffee shop, and she created mini greenhouses. And of the 124, as of over the weekend, she had 91 that took off. So 91 of those winter sewing jugs took off. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, we've got to do something. First off, she's like me, and we have an overabundance of plants.
I guess so.
Not only the knowledge, but the plants, yes. Mm-hmm. And so Cindy, I'm sure, is proud of us as coaches when, you know, for the first two summers, it was mostly just knock and walks around the neighborhood. And now on the 29th of this month, so next weekend, we are going to have a winter sewing class. We're going to open it up to our Sand Lake gardeners, those that have gone online and have filled out our form.
Okay.
We're going to gather over in Diane's backyard and learn about winter sewing. And we're going to encourage those who attend to bring their own small mini pots, and they can transplant whatever it is, flowers or vegetables, and take those home to love and grow in their garden.
Oh, very interesting.
My first class.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's it. We got a email, and I think this might be a question for Cindy, and then maybe Fred and Stephanie might want to chime in. I think, Cindy, I mentioned foraging, that you were a forager, and this listener says, I want to forage. Is there any network through Anchor Gardens? Are there foragers? So is that part of your questionnaire, Cindy? Is that something you're looking for? And this person wants nettles. They want to be able to go out and forage for nettles. Is that something that's emerged in Anchor Gardens, even though it's not in a garden? It's you know, the wild garden.
All of the permaculture people are foragers. So we're a mix of master gardeners, permaculture, just backyard, done it for 20 years people. So yet I think it really is on our survey for foragers. So I could go in and just find out all those people who are. We were going to have a forager class last summer on Zoom, and then those people were called out for different fires and different things that they had to do. So we're going to try to do that one again. I know that Tikan did one at the museum a couple weeks ago, but yeah, foraging is, I think there's some Facebook pages on foraging, but yeah, I'll hook you up with some nettle seeds if you want to just plant them. One of the things with gas prices is you might want to just start planting things close to your house. Just to have your own stash.
And so you don't have to drive and forage. Yeah, that's
exactly.
And we're going to take a tiny break here right now. But the last point she makes is she wants to do it legally. She wants to do it sustainably. And so there's things to learn. And that's, the, you know, part of what she's looking for here in a foraging class. So we're going to take a tiny break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy.
Listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org.
The conversations you hear on Hometown Alaska are focused on the needs and voices of Alaskans, and the generosity of Alaskans brings them to you. Join your neighbors and become a member of your public radio station today.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy. Here in the studio with me, I have Fred McCleary, a mentor with Anchor Gardens. And we have on the line Stephanie Gorder, who is a mentor in Sand Lake. Fred's a mentor in Russian Jack. And we have Cindy Carnes on the phone, who is one of a handful of people who founded this organization about 2 years ago. Maybe I think you're in your third growing season is the way you talk about it. I guess I want to go back to Stephanie and just give you a chance, Stephanie, to offer anything else that maybe you think would be useful to people, either, you know, how to be a coach, what does it take to be a coach, or if you're shy, or, you know, the best way to meet your neighbor, you know, and then let you go. We're starting to get some emails, and I'll start to pump through some of those emails. But, Stephanie, let's just give you a final opportunity to, what would you like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I think I want to make sure that everyone understands that Anchor Gardens is truly inclusive. I was trying to do things all on my own, and then by sheer luck, walking in my neighborhood, I met someone who was connected to Anchor Gardens, who got me hooked onto it, who started sharing the knowledge and sharing the supplies. And the next thing you know, I'm completely here and coach for Sand Lake. I really believe that our knowledge is worthy of investing in, and you're right, with the food shortage, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Take your time and fill out the application on the website, because it's really a great place to invest some time and energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would just be, I think it's, is it anchorgarden.org? Is that right, Cindy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Backslash join.
Yes, / join. Okay. So, Steph, I'm going to say thank you so much. It was wonderful to hear from you, and I'm going to pump Fred with some questions here to learn what's going on over in Russian Jack. But right at the moment, we do have a comment from Christy Wood, who's actually one of those Northeast gardeners, and she wanted, it's an email, and she just wanted to emphasize this idea that she's met so many people in her neighborhood just through anchor gardening, and that that was something, you know, that had slipped away a little bit, and that she wanted people to be thinking about that. If you're feeling isolated or you don't know your neighbors, this might be one very easy way for you to ease out of that. And yeah, so thank you for that email, Christy.
Christy is Don's wife, so she knows a million things too. Yes. She's great.
Yeah, you know, it makes me curious that she said she's in New Naca Valley, and I just wonder why some things just take off in some communities and others it takes longer. But clearly, we were talking before the break that Northeast, the Northeast Community Council, has gardeners galore. And you know, one thing might be interesting to know is where do you need mentors? You said you're missing five, roughly. Do you know where you need them?
I do. I'll give it to you in just a second. I got to look it up. I didn't have that. Oh, here they are. University area, I have somebody maybe going to do that. Birchwood, Aklutna Valley, Girdwood. Those are all outlying areas. But Taku Campbell, we need one. Rabbit Creek, North Star, Bear Valley.
Okay.
Fairview? Yeah. Yeah, we need Fairview.
Okay, so that's actually a handful.
It's a handful, yeah.
I think one more time before we're done with the show, we should mention that just in case listeners are thinking, I'm in that neighborhood, and let them know how, if they wanted to step up, what would be the first step if you're going to be a man. It might be intimidating, so they might want to, you know, talk exactly. A little bit to somebody. But I want to go to Fred and talk to you a little bit about Russian Jack. And, you know, you've been in Anchor Gardens since it began, pretty much.
Close to it.
Uh-huh. How did you find out about it?
I think it was through my community council. I was the vice president at the time, and we had discussed, the officers had discussed a community garden and the need for one or more of them in Russian Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, along with my relationship with the Neighbor Works. Lindsay with Neighbor Works is a great place to.
What is that? Naval Works?
Neighbor.
Oh, Neighbor Works. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I have heard of Neighbor Works. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
And she is a go-getter, and I think she hooked me up with the information for Anchor Gardens.
Uh-huh.
And then I touched bases there and joined them. And
you were a gardener anyway.
Yes.
And why were you a gardener? Did you just grow up gardening?
Yes, I was almost hatched in a garden.
Okay, so a mom and a dad that gardened. And
yes.
Yeah. You the one that told me there were so many kids and to feed five kids, garden was an important, yeah.
Yeah, I've got four sisters, so with a family of five and not much income, we had to grow most of what we consumed.
Yeah. And are you the main coach? Do you have an assistant coach in Russian Jack? No, you're
not
the main.
Not yet. I'm hoping, but not yet.
So how does somebody in Russian Jack find you?
Via our Facebook page.
Okay.
Cindy has set up a Facebook page for each community council area.
So Russian Jack's would be called what? Russian Jack Anchor Garden?
Yeah, Anchor Gardens, Russian Jack, Russian Jack.
Something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that page would pop up and they could send you a message.
Yeah, or when they fill out the form, that gives us an idea of what, or it tells us where in Anchorage they live,
mm-hmm.
and therefore what community council they're part of.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, Cindy can figure out what council to put them in. And then
she alert the mentor and the mentor calls them?
Yeah, so contacts them.
You might do that in Russian Jack.
Yes.
So, you know, roughly, I'm curious, how's it going in Russian Jack? How many gardens have you helped start or you know, inspired people to grow?
Well, unfortunately, in the neighborhood, my direct neighborhood, it's a lot of high-density housing.
Which is an interesting problem, right?
Yeah, I mean, no place to garden, and people are not there for very long before they're moved out and gone somewhere else. So mm-hmm. it's really difficult.
So transient, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that why your community council was looking for a community garden there?
That's one mm-hmm. of the reasons, yes. Uh-huh. We have a lot of low-income folks mm-hmm. that really could use a place to grow their own food instead of having to spend money to buy it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do you crack that nut with, you know, are you doing a lot with helping people with container gardening or gardening at their doorstep? I mean, what do you try to do?
However I can.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just anything to get them growing.
Yeah. I mentioned, I'd like to welcome, actually, Nick Riordan on. I'm so glad you called in, Nick. I sent you a message. I knew we were doing Anchor Gardens on Hometown Alaska, and the more I learned about Anchor Gardens, I realized that there's quite a partnership between Anchor Gardens and Yardacopia. So why don't you tell people, not everybody knows what Yardacopia is, even though you've been around a while. So what is your mission?
We are, thanks so much for reaching out.
Yeah,
the invitation to join. A lot of love for Alaska Public Media and Anchor Gardens and all that. But yeah, Yardacopia, it's a program of a larger nonprofit, Alaska Community Action on Toxics, which is a small research and advocacy organization based in Anchorage. And so the ACAT at large, we're working to protect current and future generations of Alaskans and their access to clean air, water, and food. And so it's that access to clean food that the Yardacopia program was born. And we're working directly with members of the Anchorage community and have been for the last 10 years now to build gardens and reconnect people with their food.
Right.
So we often will pair homeowners who donate parts of their yard, backyard, front yard, and some tools, maybe a wheelbarrow and a shovel, with volunteers and volunteer gardeners. So they learn organic gardening techniques in that space and share the produce. And we try to, you know, nudge them to give a percentage of that to charity, to a soup kitchen or a nearby food pantry. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, we all, like we've been hearing in the last half hour, a lot of, you know, connection between people is a big part of it as well.
Yeah.
The gardening technique.
What's a typical homeowner? Do they tend to be an older person or maybe a young family where everybody's working and there's not enough time to garden? Who's a typical person that comes to Yardacopia and it says, I think somebody could garden in my backyard?
You're right. Yeah, there's definitely a group that is older and had a garden and maybe is no longer using the space.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it's, you know, somebody, they just heard about it through a friend and said, you know, I've had this yard, I'm tired of mowing it. I'd rather, you know, somebody else can make mm-hmm. better use of that than, me getting out there a couple times a week. And then, you know, we get a lot of folks on the other end, the gardeners, people who are renting is really quite common.
Which is to speak to the Russian Jack problem that Fred was talking about. People who are in an apartment and don't necessarily have a plot of land that can work. So this is a way they can start to garden. And then maybe they're on the list to get into the community garden, but they're not in yet. They might be able to match up with a homeowner with a plot of land. So how many do you have going? Do you have any sense of how big your network is of homeowners and gardeners that are working together?
I work with about maybe two dozen gardens pairs, or it's not always two people. Sometimes it's three or four
mm-hmm.
per year. I'd say that's a good average number. And then we work with a couple of community gardens, one in Spinard. We've been there for 3 years. And then a new one in Midtown. If folks live in the Midtown or Spinard neighborhood and have been on the wait list of community gardens for a while, we just got a commercial lot that we're transforming into a community garden. So there's lots of spaces available.
So this would be not in the municipal community gardens. In other words, that's still going. That's still functioning. People sign up, I think, early in the year. And it's a long waiting list. I think we've had a show on that at one point, too. So that's still going. But essentially what's happening is the demand is greater. And other organizations like Yardacopia or Anchor Gardens are stepping up and finding other ways to have gardens. So that's I wondered, Nick, whether the pandemic brought more people out of the woodwork for you like it did for Anchor Gardens? Did people become more interested in growing their own food during the pandemic?
Yeah, I see there was an uptick of questions and requests. I think, yeah, folks spending more time in their homes, a lot more interest in growing. There wasn't actually necessarily, I think a lot more people who were spending more time in their house were looking for something to do close at home. And you know, shortages on the shelves and stuff begs the question of where your food's coming from.
Yeah, you start to think, can't get my X that I usually get at the store. We talked a little bit earlier about the discussions about the Port of Alaska here in Anchorage, and that 90% of the stuff comes through that port, and there's real concerns about it needing repair and needing fortification. So that also might be on people's minds, thinking maybe those ships aren't going to be able to come in as often as they do. So now people can find out about your organization by just going to, I know I found it by just Googling Yardacopia. It's a great, unique name, and your group pops right up. Is there a kind of form they fill out or anything like that to get going?
Yeah, when you go to yardacopia.org, there's three buttons. You can offer yard space. You can sign up as a gardener kind of looking for space or mentorship. And then many people sign up simply as a volunteer to, you know, get onto the newsletter.
And this new garden in Midtown, where is it located if people are just hearing about it? I think I spied it driving down Northern Lights because I saw this fenced lot that had a lot of what looked like leaf bags in it, you know, like there was maybe some stockpiling of garden material there that I hadn't seen before. So what's your exact address?
2930 Chichaco Street is the lot. Mm-hmm. And so it's really close to the Arctic and Benson intersection. Mm-hmm. Big space. And so we've just started as gardeners sign up to transform the portion that's needed to garden bit by bit. And that'll be an ongoing process, I think, throughout the summer.
So you're just building the garden now, and there is room for new gardeners. Have we got that right?
Yep.
All right. Well, Nick, we need to take a tiny break here. We'll be right back. You're listening to Hometown Alaska, and we're talking Anchor Gardens and a little bit of Yardacopia here. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and it is gardening season, and we're waiting for the dirt to warm up. And so we have Anchor Gardens on today. Cindy Carnes, one of the founders. It's in its third growing season. It is a mentoring network where if you're a new gardener and you want to maybe try a hoop, what did you call it, a hoop tunnel? Or you've never grown broccoli before, or the idea that you might sow your seeds when the snow's still on the ground in gallon milk jugs. These are things that are information that's being shared through this network. Cindy, I'm going to go back to you because we did get a question, an email, asking about whether cooperative extension is involved. And that triggered in my mind this idea that there are a lot of organizations around cooperative extension. There's, you know, garden clubs. There's, you know, native plant societies. There's a lot of interest here. But, you know, how do you relate to cooperative extension? And, you know, I guess maybe you are more of a beginning gardener network, and maybe that's a niche that really wasn't filled by all of these other organizations. So first of all, talk about cooperative extension.
Right. So the first summer, we were trying to be a flat organization, no bosses, everybody do what you want, but share everything. And what happened was we figured out we're using a model of a web, like a spider web, and nobody was holding the center. So we decided to create a core team to hold the center and make sure that we're staying on mission. And we invite anybody to be on that core team. Yardacopia just went off. Nick was on, but he just went off because of this big project he's doing. But Cooperative Extension is on our core team. And a lot of, let's see, who else is on our core team that I can There, anyway, anybody can volunteer to be on the core team and help us out. So, yeah, it is open for all to do that. And as long as everybody wants to give things away, and that's usually the rub, the people don't, most people are like, no, let's have a class that charges money, or let's have an organization that's just us, you know, just about one thing. This is really what we're trying to do is grow neighborhoods through gardening. We're not really necessarily, I mean, gardening is really good. Food security is our main mission. But really, when the SHIT hits the fan, we need to depend on our neighbors, not just any old organization that's around town. So really neighborhood focused.
So, Cooperative Extension is aware of you and perhaps refers people to you too, I bet.
Oh yeah, we share each other's handouts at different events. Yeah, we're right on top of it. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I've got another call, a question here. Muldoon Park.
Chansu.
Yeah.
Okay. Say it again, Fred.
Chansu.
Chansu Muldoon Park has a new community garden. It also has wheelchair accessible raised beds. So that's an inclusive aspect of that garden.
Guess who the coach is there?
Would that
Christy
be?
Wood.
Oh, Christy Wood. Okay. Yes. Christy's clearly listening to the show and wants to get the word out. So she says there are still spaces there in that garden.
Uh huh.
So, yeah, that's great. Let's see. I wanted to talk a little bit with you, Cindy, about this giving it away free economy. I mean, you did tell me that you've gotten a small grant. Sometimes people make donations, but none of that is required. Why are you going that route rather than sort of charging something? Why does that free economy appeal to you?
It has to do with growing up in Alaska and Alaska Native values. It's all about sharing. People didn't survive here in the ancient days without sharing. And if we don't keep those values, then it's not very helpful when things go wrong. We have to really develop that sense of community or sense of neighborhood. And so somebody was telling me, Anchor Gardens is creating small towns, 36 small towns in Anchorage.
Because there's 36 community councils.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the point. So just giving things without expecting anything in return is what Alaska is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel, and that's part of me. I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but we're basically teaching Alaskan culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I wanted you to talk a little bit about the eye garden, just because that's one that a lot of people see. And it is a piece of property, like Nick is dealing with a piece of property that he does not own. Am I right, Nick? The Yardacopia does not own that lot that you're going to develop in Midtown?
Yeah, that's correct.
So there's this different situation over on I Street. That's a Yardacopia garden in Midtown, but there's another community garden on I Street. So Cindy, I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit about how that one got started.
That's a shout out to Tina Thompson. She is amazing. She was going to build her retirement home there. And then she was like, well, I'm not really ready during the pandemic, so let's wait a year or two. And she just put on Facebook that she has some land. And we snatched that up right away and said, hey, we want to put a garden there. And she said, fine. And then because we're not a 501c3, we're under the fiscal sponsorship of NeighborWorks. So she has given an in-kind donation to NeighborWorks, who then gives her tax break papers, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
So she can use it as a tax deduction is what it is. So,
complex finances, yeah. but it's a possibility if someone has a piece of property they're not using.
Right. And what the cool thing about NeighborWorks is then, because a lot of people don't want to do that because of insurance purposes, but NeighborWorks is about building neighborhoods. And so they offer insurance because we're part of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody gets hurt or whatever, we have insurance through NeighborWorks too. So it makes it so the homeowner isn't, or the landowner, whatever, isn't responsible for homeowner insurance or whatever. It's through NeighborWorks. So we have a really good connection with NeighborWorks and very happy with them.
Okay. I'm glad that we sort of got that out there, because I was curious about that garden. It's a big one, and you're on the road right downtown. You just can't miss it. So it's like, what's going on over there? Is that a new community garden? Well, yes. So now we know. I want to go to Fred, because Fred's been just so great here, and he's, you know, nodding and messaging me and being so helpful. Fred, I just want to, you know, talk to you a little bit about, we talked about, you know, gardening. You grew up gardening because your family needed to feed five kids. But what do you get out of it? I mean, is it when you're in your garden, and you told me the story of your hoops and the wind the other day and your tomato plants, you know. Tell us a little bit about that adventure you just had.
Well, that was kind of ugly.
We had high winds.
Yeah.
And you had gotten your tomatoes in.
I have raised beds that I built, and I have hoops over them covered with plastic. So temperatures get pretty high in there. And so my temperatures had been getting in the 80s in the hoops, so I had these tomato plants I'd been given that were about a little over 2 feet tall, and all of them had started to blossom, and I was running out of room in my living room to put them.
Yeah.
So I decided I'd put them in my gardens, and so I did that.
And then the wind came.
And then the wind came and blew off all my covers. And it got cold, and the combination of the wind and the cold obviously brought the chill factor in there, and it froze and broke most of my tomato plants.
That's a heartbreaking story, Fred.
Yeah, it really bummed me out.
Well, so how does a gardener come back from that?
Well, luckily I have starts that I had in my garage. But they're just little tiny things compared to what I planted.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll just have to start over.
Yeah. You know, what is your greatest pleasure in gardening? I mean,
I love to watch things grow and help them grow and harvest them when it's time.
Mm-hmm.
It's really relaxing to garden and rewarding when you get to the end and harvest.
Mm-hmm. And what else? I know we know about your tomato plants, but do you have broccoli starts? Do you have cabbage?
I've got all kinds of stuff.
Mostly food? No, you're the poppy guy.
I am the poppy guy. I am.
What do we see at your house? You see your hoop beds, and then poppies everywhere else?
Well, it's a combination.
Mm-hmm.
I just built some raised beds in the front of my house. I had a spot that I used to have raised beds, but my neighbor had cottonwood trees, and the roots of those cottonwoods went right into my beds and destroyed them.
Uh-oh.
So I had to tear them out. And so this year, I said, well, it's time to put them back in, and this time I'm going to make it root-proof.
Oh, okay. How'd you do that?
Well, I actually got plastic bed kits.
Okay.
From a big box store.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Down the street from me.
Instead of building wooden ones, you okay.
Right. I had plans to do my usual raised beds, which is roofing sheets of steel painted on both sides and then treated wood for the structure.
Mm-hmm.
And put all that together. And you got a raised bed.
Well,
but
yeah.
With the prices of wood nowadays, that's pretty expensive proposition.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
I saw these beds.
You went for it.
And they were cheap, And I said, I can't build them for that. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's the issues you raise. You know, we live in a community, and so people have trees that are shading your garden. You have to learn to get along. And we do also live in a kind of pretty polarized time where people don't agree on a lot of things. And maybe, Cindy, I'm wondering, do you think gardening can be a way around some of those tough spots that people, you know, you're afraid to have a conversation because you're going to find out you're on opposite sides of something. So maybe gardening is a more neutral thing you can talk about.
Yeah, we were getting sheep manure for the senior center in Eagle River, Chugiak, and we were all digging, and I said, this is the only place where everybody can have a different political opinion, and we're still shoveling
You still got to do the work, right,
yeah.
Right. let's see, Cindy, for you, let's see, I'm going to go to Nick. Nick, I just wanted, because he's been hanging on here and I haven't really pulled him back in. How did you get into gardening, Nick? What is it that you love about it?
Yeah, I've been chuckling over here at your guys' stories. Similar to Fred, I mean, it's a magical process to watch a seed germinate and turn into a plant, and it's sort of a nice slow-paced enjoyment to the activity. It is a conversation starter. I couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm.
The time you can spend out there can be solitary and peaceful and contemplative. There are moments of frustration like anything else. It can be a great way to spend time. I spent time out there as a kid with my neighbors and with my mom in the garden, and now I can spend time out there with friends and partners and share and
Outside. Yeah. So some of those kind of some old fashioned togetherness. I mean, everybody thought computers were going to link us up, but it's actually in some ways we need to be together. You know, we need to be together. Cindy, I think I should really try to reiterate some of the things that we want people to know. We've got a couple minutes left, but, you know, people jump in and out of the show, so they might not know how do you get into Anchor Gardens. You really fill out a form. So tell us about that again.
Yeah. So the lowest level is I call them a lurker, but it's not really a lurker. It's Facebook.
A lurker.
Yeah. So lurkers on Facebook. They're on our Facebook page, and as long as you live in the Muni, you can join that. And then if they feel like they want to start sharing and being more involved, then they go to anchorgardens.org/join, and they join with it's going to take you 30 minutes because we're going to ask you all your superpowers, where you live, things you need, and we're going to try to connect you then with other gardeners in your neighborhood. So as soon as that happens, then you get a key to the directory, basically, and you can contact people that are have superpowers anywhere.
It's the superpower directory that you'll get access to online. So if you've got a question about hoop tunnels, you might get Fred's contact information and you might. Right. Okay. Or, you know, as the summer progresses, maybe people get bugs that they don't know what to do with. So.
In the last couple of minutes, I want to make sure that people understand lasagna gardening. That's the one thing on my list.
Okay. Jump in.
We're very much about keeping the waste out of the landfill. So when we talk about lasagna gardens,
Cindy, we're going to have a show on lasagna garden. We're going to run out of time. We're going to lose you. So I just want to say thank you, Cindy Carnes. Thank you, Fred McCleary. Thanks, Stephanie Gorder. And thank you, Nick Riordan. I'll put something of lasagna gardening on our website. And next week, Justin Williams is going to be talking about the Spinard Jazz Fest. And Hometown is going to take a break on Memorial Day, but we'll be back after that. We'll be taking a little bit break and back in August. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Tobin Shelby was our audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.